We read Holy Scripture tonight in Romans chapter 16. The text we will consider is in Philippians 4. And the text has to do with salutation or Christian greeting. Romans 16 is a unique chapter. The Apostle Paul uses quite a lot of space at the end of this epistle to send his greetings and to ask for others to greet saints for him. So we'll read this chapter in that connection with Christian greeting. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urban, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And the note at the end of the epistle there tells us that he wrote Romans from Corinth, indicating that he wrote that epistle sometime prior to the epistle to the Philippians, which he wrote while he was in prison in Rome. It's interesting, in that epistle to the Romans, he's sending greetings to people in Rome, but now he is in Rome and sending greetings to people in Philippi. So our text tonight is Philippians chapter 4, verses 21 and 22 for this applicatory service. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Three more important remarks the apostle has to make before ending this epistle to the Philippians. And with these three important remarks, he does end the epistle. In the first place, a doxology. Verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Apostle Paul, as you may have noticed, spoke quite a bit about himself in this epistle. He uses the first person pronoun quite a few times and tells them about his various experiences as well as his conversion to Christ. And constantly, it seems, he's speaking about himself. But he did not do that for his own glory. He did not do that to draw attention to himself in a bad sort of way, but he did that to encourage the Philippian saints and to instruct them. As far as glory is concerned, he wants them to know here at the close of the epistle, as far as glory is concerned, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever, into the ages of the ages, both now and unto all eternity, may God our Heavenly Father receive all the glory. In the second place, a salutation. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The apostle always ends his letters with these salutations. He spends a whole chapter, as we saw in the epistle of Romans, to close out that epistle with greetings. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. In the third place, a benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The apostle often begins and ends his epistles with these stirring words of blessing. The grace of Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We also begin and end our worship services with such benedictions. And those words are a pronouncement of blessing upon us from God through Jesus Christ. Three things: a doxology, a salutation, and a benediction. Tonight for our applicatory service, as we look at how to apply the gospel that we have seen and heard this morning, we wish to call attention to that second item, the salutation. We want to call attention to our Christian calling to salute one another, to greet one another in Jesus Christ. The word salute in the text does not refer to the hand gesture of a soldier. Maybe the children or young people immediately think of a soldier standing before his commanding officer and putting his hand to his forehead and then offering a salute, a salutation to his commanding superior officer in the army. But that is not what the apostle is referring to by salute in the text. The word salute means to greet. And that was an older meaning of that English word when the King James Version was originally translated. Everyone who read it understood by salute he meant give greeting. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. That's the admonition we must hear together tonight from the Word of God. Let's consider it under the theme, greeting in Christ Jesus. We notice first its idea, secondly its sphere, and then thirdly its objects. The apostle exhorts us in the text, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to state these indicatives, the brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you. Chiefly they which are of Caesar's household. Now, greeting is a rather common act, an activity found, a practice found among all peoples and cultures throughout history and throughout the earth. But the apostle has in mind in the text, and the scripture has in mind, something much more beautiful and something much more comforting than the sometimes empty cliches and platitudes which are used among us. Often we do use words to greet each other, and there's no harm in that, of course. We say, hello, how are you? How is it going? How do you do? Was an old-fashioned way of saying it. A more modern way would be to say, what's up? How's it going? And so we offer these greetings to each other, but often they are nothing more than an empty cliche. If those things are nothing more than a way to break the ice of conversation or to acknowledge the presence of someone, there's nothing wrong with it. There's certainly no harm in it, but we understand there's not much to it. There's not a whole lot of significance to it, and we could just as well leave those things off and we wouldn't be any better or any worse. They are just simply rather meaningless and rather empty. And so when we hear about greeting in the text, maybe we're tempted to think that how could you preach a whole sermon on greeting or salutation? It's just a simple thing, a way to break the ice, a way to acknowledge someone's presence. And if that is all that it is, then that's true. It is rather empty and meaningless. Greeting becomes a bit more significant when it becomes a warm welcome to someone into our midst and into our presence. When it is not simply a way to initiate conversation, but a way to express to someone our gladness to see them. When we express it in a warm and welcoming tone of voice, when we say, hello, it's good to see you. I'm glad that you've come. Come into our house. Welcome to our home. Welcome to our church. We're glad that you're here. Please, please come in and spend fellowship and spend time with us. Then the greeting takes on a new level. Then it shows genuine interest in the person. And that is a good thing. That makes a person feel welcome. And that is always a good thing. But still, this is a rather common practice, even among peoples who are not Christian and cultures of all ages. Jesus himself did not receive such a welcome when he entered into the house of one Simon the Pharisee. As you recall, in Luke 7, verses 44 and 45, Jesus had to say to Simon the Pharisee, seest thou this woman? I entered thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. And so Jesus reproved Simon for his lack of hospitality, for his lack of welcoming Jesus into his house, for his lack of expressing love. So greetings can be a very significant thing, of course, in a significant way to welcome someone, to make them known. We're glad to see them. And we're glad to have them into our house. But greetings in Scripture are even deeper and richer and more comforting and beautiful than that. We find that greetings and salutations are a very common practice in Scripture too, from Old Testament into New Testament. Mary, the mother of our Lord, when carrying the Son of God in our flesh, in her womb, as you remember, went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And in Luke 1 verse 40, we read that she entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. She didn't put her hand to her forehead and salute her in that way. She greeted her. She said, peace unto you. We read at the end of Paul's epistles of his salutations, as we read in Romans 16, the Apostle Peter too offered greetings. 1 Peter 5 verse 14, he says, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Significantly, our Lord Jesus Christ too, when he arose from the dead, brought greetings to his disciples. In Luke 24 verse 36, we read that the risen Lord Jesus came and suddenly appeared and stood in the midst of his disciples. And the first thing he said to them was a greeting, peace be unto you. We read of that also in John chapter 20. Two different times the Lord appeared to his disciples, and in both instances he said to them, peace be unto you. According to Scripture, therefore, beloved, you can see that greeting is not an empty word or cliche, but a word of blessing. To greet or to salute someone according to Scripture is to bless them in Jesus Christ and in the name of our God. The typical greeting among the Hebrews was always Shalom Lecha, which means in English, peace be unto you. Shalom, peace be to you. Other expressions were used too. Jehovah be with you. Jehovah bless you. God be with you. God bless you. These were the ways that God's people in biblical times greeted each other. We can learn something from that. We need to learn something from that. Today we have become a bit bashful and shy with our faith and our religion. And that's due to the influence of our society. We live in a post-Christian society, a society in which the gospel has come and gone, in which people have rejected the gospel and no longer care for the gospel. And now we are told, too, that you must not bear your faith on your shirt sleeves, but keep it to yourself. Keep it private. Your religion is for your home and for your church, but not in the workplace. And don't say, God bless you to me. I don't want to hear about God. I don't want to hear about your God. And so we've become intimidated. We've become timid in speaking about God in public. But the proper way to greet someone is to say, God bless you, Jehovah be with you, or peace be unto you. And that is a deeply faith-filled and religious kind of greeting. That is the kind of greeting spoken of in Scripture. It's a blessing. To greet is to bless. And to bless is to pronounce a word with our mouth or with our pen, a word that good will come to someone. It's not just a wish that good would come to someone, a well wish. I wish and I hope that you will prosper, that you will live long and prosper, or something like that. But it is a solemn request, a solemn prayer to the one and living God who created all things and controls all things and who can bless and who can curse. It's a solemn petition. May God bless you. May the peace of God be upon you. May grace and mercy be given to you. See, those are the kinds of good things which we want for someone when we greet him or her. Not merely the physical and earthly goods, which are perishable. Not merely that someone will be physically prosperous, will gain physical wealth and status in the world. But that heavenly and spiritual good, those blessings which are rooted in the cross of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sins and righteousness. True peace that lasts a lifetime. And joy in the Lord. Contentment in the way that we are led. All of these blessings are the blessings which we wish for someone and request for someone and pronounce upon someone when we greet them in the biblical way. Do that, beloved. Do that when you greet one another. Yes, you may still say hello and how is it going? We cannot get those things out of our conversation anyway. They're rooted in our way of thinking. We cannot, I'm sure, totally convert the way we greet so that we say, as they said in the old days, peace be unto you. But say it. Don't be embarrassed to say it. And if someone says, why do you say that? Then you say, because the Scripture teaches me. That's how to greet. God bless you. Jehovah be with you. Peace be unto you. But can our blessings that are found in our greetings actually bless? Do such words have the power to bless? Our words in and of themselves, of course, have no power. We can say all we want, peace be unto you, and no peace will be given to such a person. We can say, Jehovah be with you, and Jehovah may not be with them. We can say, grace and mercy be unto you, but grace and mercy might not be unto them, and certainly not merely because we said so. Only God in heaven, who is all-powerful, speaks and it is done. When the God of heaven blesses, one is surely blessed. When the God of all creation says, peace be to you, peace is surely unto such a person. because God's Word has power. God's Word is the Word that brought into being all things that exist in the beginning. God's Word can bless. So when our Word coincides with God's Word, then it is effectual. When we bless someone in the name of Jesus Christ, and it is God's will to bless the person as well, that person is blessed. That's why the Apostle says in the text, "Salute every saint in Christ Jesus." Now that could mean, that could be modifying the word saint. He could be saying, everyone who is a saint in Christ Jesus, but it could also mean this, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Salute them in the name of Christ Jesus. Salute those who live in the sphere of Christ Jesus. And when we do that, a person is surely blessed. Just think of the result, beloved, when we are so greeted. When someone says hello to us, we do not think much of it. When someone says, "How are you doing?" sometimes we are compelled to tell them, "Well, I'm not doing so well at all." But when someone says, "Peace unto you, may God bless you, may Jehovah be with you," think of the result. Think of the fruit. Think of the outcome in us who receive such a greeting. We are encouraged. We are strengthened. We are blessed indeed. It cheers our hearts. It lifts us up. It reminds us, if nothing else, it reminds us of the peace that we have in Jesus Christ due to the blood He shed on the cross, due to His justifying grace. It reminds us that we are, Jehovah is with us. It is a form of the gospel, unofficial, but a form of the gospel preached to us when we greet our fellow saints. Jehovah be with you. God bless you. And so the sphere in which such greeting takes place is the sphere of the saints. Notice that in the text, "Salute every saint in Christ Jesus," and verse 22, "all the saints salute you." All the saints greet all the saints. This is an activity that takes place within the communion of saints. That beautiful reality of the communion of saints underlies the text, is implied and presupposed in the text, or if you prefer, that brotherhood of believers, because the word brother too appears in the text. That reality underlies this calling to greet the saints. "Among the brethren," Paul says, "who are with me, greet you." No doubt the apostle had been asked by these brothers in Rome to greet, to bless the saints at Philippi. Who were these brethren? We do not know who these brethren were. It seems clear that they were fellow laborers in the gospel with Paul, because he makes a distinction between the brethren who are with me and all of the saints. So he's speaking here of the close inner circle, the brothers who were with him. Those who labored with him side by side in the gospel. And as you recall in chapter 1 of the epistle, some of those brothers preached the gospel out of envy and strife and contention, but others preached the gospel out of love and goodwill. And yet he refers to them as the brothers who are with me. They send their greetings to you. No doubt the brothers who were truly with Paul, the brothers who truly loved Paul and supported Paul, were those who urged him to send their greetings. Perhaps Luke was among them. According to Acts 28, verse 16, Luke accompanied Paul to Rome. He was on that ship with Paul when they were shipwrecked in Melita, and he accompanied Paul into Rome, and we don't ever read that he left. But he may have been with Paul all this time in Rome. He may have been one of the brethren. As we read in Romans 16, 2, he lists some of those brethren: Timotheus, Lucius, Luke, and others. But we don't know ultimately who these brothers were. What we do know is that they were brothers. Brothers of each other, brothers of Paul, and brothers of the saints at Philippi. It's very likely that these brothers had never met any of the saints at Philippi. If Luke is one of those brothers, it's very possible that Luke actually came from Philippi. And that would indicate, too, his special interest in the saints there. Nevertheless, it's very likely that most of these brothers didn't know the saints at Philippi. Nevertheless, they were brothers. The brotherhood of believers, that beautiful reality, that precious reality, underlies the text. In the sphere of brothers, Christian greeting takes place. And that means, too, in the sphere of fellow office bearers. The office bearers of Holland greet the office bearers of Hudsonville Church. We send our greetings to you as fellow brothers in Christ. The brothers of this church at Rome sent their greetings to the brothers in Philippi. That brotherhood is due to the adoption that God has done through Christ. God elected all of His people before time began. God washed them in the blood of Christ at the cross. God adopted them as a legal transaction through justification. God regenerates them and makes them His children in a true and living and spiritual way in the midst of the world. And then all those who are chosen, those who are regenerated, those who are adopted into the house of God are brothers. Brothers and sisters. They may not be physical brothers. They may have no blood relationship. They may be of a different race, a different color of skin, a different language. There may be an ocean between them, but they're brothers. Brothers adopted into the household of faith. The saints at Rome, the brothers at Rome, recognized that bond. They were conscious of that bond. And being conscious of that bond, even though they probably didn't know those saints, they loved those saints as their brothers. And they said to Paul, "Now send greetings to the brothers from us. Say that the brothers here greet the brothers there. Make sure that you include us. All the brethren, also all the saints salute you." Not only the brothers in Paul's close inner circle, not only the fellow laborers, but Paul includes all of the saints at Rome. Jews and Gentiles alike. Old and young. All of the saints who were part of the church at Rome. All those who lived in the capital city of the empire and confessed the name of Jesus Christ are included in Paul's greeting. All of the saints here at Rome greet you. Greet all of the saints at Philippi. What a beautiful thing. A saint is someone who is sanctified in Christ. A saint is someone who has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. A saint is someone who serves Christ and the living God in the midst of the world. Not a perfect person, but a person who by the power of the Holy Spirit is striving against sin, striving to live a godly life. That's a saint. Saints all have this in common, that they've been washed in the blood of Christ. And so there's a communion among them. A communion of saints. That doesn't just exist within one congregation or within one denomination, but that exists among all true saints and true Christians the world over. There's a communion, a common bond. Otherwise, the saints may be very different, ethnically different, racially different, intellectually different, emotionally different. But there is this intimate communion that roots them to each other. The saints at Rome were conscious of that communion of saints. We can say with even greater certainty that the saints at Rome no doubt didn't know the saints at Philippi, probably never met them, maybe knew some of their names, but they were conscious of this bond, this communion, this having the same faith, hope, and love. And being conscious of it, they longed to express it. So they said to Paul, "Salute the saints at Philippi for us too. Chiefly, those of the household of Caesar." There were saints who evidently lived in the palace of the emperor, wicked Nero, who was contemplating cutting off the head of the Apostle Paul probably at this moment. They especially wanted Paul to send greetings, especially they. That's what Paul means evidently when he says chiefly, or above all, or especially, or with special emphasis, the saints who are in the household of Caesar want you to know they send their greetings to you. Who were those saints? Servants of the emperor, perhaps, who were washing his feet and clothes and serving him his meals every day? Soldiers of the emperor, of the Praetorian Guard, bodyguards of Nero? Were they the men who were guarding the apostle from day to day, taking turns, being chained their arm to his arm? We don't know. Were they relatives of Nero? Were they actually family members of that wicked, ungodly king? We do not know. But they were men and women who lived in the palace of that ungodly king. They especially wanted the saints to know, we send our greetings. It's as though they're saying to the saints at Philippi, you probably have heard that the gospel made its way all the way into the palace, the capital city of the empire, and the palace of Nero. Maybe you've heard that some of us have been converted to Christ. Well, we want you to know we send our greetings to you. Even though we live in this ungodly atmosphere, even though we live so close to the enemy of the church and the enemy of the saints, nevertheless, we want you to know we send our greetings. We live in his household, but make no mistake, we're not of his household. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We live close to the ungodly, but we're not with the ungodly. We don't share the dreams and aspirations of the ungodly. We send our greetings to you. Nero might curse you, but we bless you. Nero might put you into the lion's den. He might put you into the Colosseum. He might feed you into his gardens and burn you alive. But we bless you. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. We say peace unto you. We say Jehovah be with you. We say God bless you. We say fear not. We send our greetings. All the saints greet all the saints. It takes place within the sphere of the communion of saints and is a beautiful expression of that brotherhood and that bond. It arises, beloved, when we are conscious of that deep spiritual and eternal bond. When we are conscious of it. These kinds of greetings vanish from our lips and from our minds and from our hearts when we're not conscious of that bond, either within our own local congregation or denomination or in the whole world. When we are not conscious of it, when we're not thinking about it, when it's not part of our daily thoughts, then these greetings vanish from our lips and from our hearts. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 137, verses 5 and 6, he prays that he will not forget Jerusalem, and that if he forgets Jerusalem as his chief joy in this life, the bad things will happen to him. He asks God to chasten and punish him if he should forget Jerusalem as his chief joy. If we do that, if we forget about God's church, if we forget about God's people in the whole world, if that's not our chief joy, then such greetings won't come to our lips. They won't even arise in our minds or hearts. We won't even think to do it. And it won't be an interest or passion of ours. But when we are conscious of the communion of saints, when we love the church, and when we love the saints who are members of the church, whether we know them or don't know them, whether they're in this country or in other countries, then we long to express that deep tie. We long to say to our fellow brothers and sisters, wherever they are, we greet you. Peace be unto you. Bless you. Many of you, I am sure, do not know many of the saints overseas. I mean the ones with whom we have special relationships and contact, such as the Covenant ERC in Singapore, or the Covenant ERC in, or CPRC rather, in Northern Ireland. or the Berean PRC in the Philippines, probably many of you don't know many of them. Maybe some of you know some of them. But they're there. And you know that they're there. And we know that they're there. And they worship from Sabbath to Sabbath just like we do. And therefore I'm sure that if, for example, I would take up the pen and write a letter as Paul wrote a letter from Rome to the Philippians, if I was to do that as your pastor, or if our elders or deacons were to do that, you would want them to say in that letter, now make sure that you greet those saints from us. Send our greetings. If you go there, send our greetings. Tell them that the saints at Holland greet you. The brothers of the Council of Holland Protestant Reformed Church greet you. All the saints of Holland Protestant Reformed Church greet you. We all greet you. We all send our salute. We all wish you Godspeed. We all say, peace be unto you and Jehovah be with you. May God bless you. We send those greetings. Salute every saint. We do not withhold greeting from any saint. We do not merely extend a warm welcome to certain saints. We don't show favoritism in this regard. We don't merely greet our blood relatives. We don't merely go to our comfort zone after church and merely say hello and peace be unto you and God bless you and how are you really doing to those whom we know well. But every saint. Salute every saint. Male and female, Jew and Greek, bond and free. The physical distinctions fall apart in this regard. There is no class differentiation. The rich don't merely greet the rich, and the poor don't merely greet the poor, but the rich and the poor greet each other. The men and the women greet each other. The children and the old greet each other. Greet every saint. Notice that he says every saint and not all saints. That's interesting. He could just say in a generic sort of way, now salute all the saints. And maybe we would think that we're doing that as long as we love the church as a whole and in general. As we had as our family visitation a few years ago, love for the church, or love within the church rather. We asked from house to house whether you love the church, whether you love Holland Protestant Reformed Church. And we got very good positive responses. That's excellent. But then we have to understand, what do we mean by that? Do we simply mean, I love the church as a whole? I love it generically? I love the people there generically? Or this, greet every saint because you love every saint. Every single saint. Each and every saint. That's an individualizing of the command in the text. Salute every saint. Love the church, and love the church by loving all the saints in the church, and salute every saint in the church. That's the meaning of the text. What about those who are not saints? We, especially in the Protestant Reformed churches, understand that not all men are blessed. Not all men are saints. Not all are elect. Not all are the recipients of God's grace and blessing. And so if God does not bless all men, may we? Yes. It is true, of course, that the wicked cannot be blessed. As Isaiah said already long ago in Isaiah 48, verse 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. Nevertheless, we greet them. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught us in the Sermon on the Mount when he said in Matthew 5, to love our enemies, remember that he said this, if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? If you only salute your brothers and not your enemies, what good do you do? Love your enemies. Salute your enemies. Now often our personal enemies, we do not know obviously if they're a reprobate or elect. And often our personal enemies are even within the church or within nominal Christianity. They claim to believe in God. They claim to be Christians. And yet there are personal enemies who make our lives difficult. Jesus says, greet them. Love them. Salute them. Bless them. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Greet them. The Lord also said this to his disciples when he sent them out to the lost sheep of Israel in Matthew 10 and Luke 10. He sent them with this mandate in Matthew 10, 12 and 13. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Or as he puts it in Luke 5 and 6, 10 verses 5 and 6, and into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. So he says to us, greet all men whom you meet. Greet your neighbor. Salute your neighbor. Say peace unto your neighbor, even your enemy. That's part of loving your neighbor. But if that neighbor then shows himself to be unworthy, if that neighbor then rejects the gospel and shows himself to be an ungodly and blasphemous man, don't cast your pearls before swine, but let your peace return unto you. And it will return. It will return. But salute the saints. Be sure to salute the saints. And when you salute your neighbor, we don't know which of those neighbors are saints. We may just very well be saluting the saints when we salute those who are not Christians at this time. And God may use that too as a witness unto them. Well, make sure that you salute all those whom you know to be saints. That's the exhortation of the text. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Let us do that, beloved. Part of our Christian calling, part of our life of thankfulness, responding to what Jesus Christ has done for us, giving up his life for us on the cross, loving his enemies unto death. We can certainly love our brethren, all of our brethren, each and every single one of our brethren, and greet them in Christ Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank thee for this word and pray that thou wilt apply it to our hearts. We pray that thou wilt give us grace to greet our fellow saints. We pray that thou wilt help us to use that superior, richer, more beautiful blessing, the greeting of peace unto you. And we pray, Father, thou wilt bless those blessings, cause them to be effectual, so that the words we speak do indeed bless each other and encourage each other and build each other up. And grant that we might do this in the knowledge that we have.